All right, let's get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to the regular session of the June 4th City Council meeting, June 4th, 2024. I'm Mayor Horrocks. Welcome. All council members are here. Our first item is a thought or prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance with Councilmember Lisa Van Langeveld.
Thank you. I am actually going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance and then we'll go to our thought and prayer. Please stand with me. Thank you. I am thrilled to introduce a guest we've invited tonight to give our thought for City Council. We have invited Ty Jones, who is a really standout young person in our community, to come and share an essay that he wrote about living in North Salt Lake. And he, as you know, submitted that to the Utah League of Cities and Towns essay contest, and he is a winner this year, which we are just so thrilled about. So while you're coming up, will you see if he needs to have something to help him be taller? I'm sorry, I forgot to do that before. He might be, okay, David's got you. Oh, look at you. Okay. So before you get started, though, I want to say a little bit about you because you are a very impressive young man. So Ty Jones is going into the eighth grade at South Davis. He's lived in North Salt Lake most of his life. His parents were saying about 10 years. So that comprises most of your life. At South Davis, he loves studying history. He is scheduled to be part of the student body next year, a student body officer next year. He lives with his parents and his little brother, Gresham, his 7-year-old little brother. He loves playing soccer. He plays competitively. He loves to be up to date on the news and learning new things. And his mother said that they often have to turn to him to know the answers to questions, that he provides that expertise in their home. We're just thrilled that you're here, Ty, and we would love to hear your essay.
All right. So, can you hear me good? Okay. my name is Ty Jones. I live in North Salt Lake City, Utah, and I love where I live. From the scenic views and parks to the wonderful community events, North Salt Lake is an amazing place to be. I have lived in North Salt Lake for nearly 10 years now, and through those years, I have come to realize what sets my community apart from others in Utah. First, the scenic views from North Salt Lake are truly unique. My house is located on top of a mountain in a neighborhood, and the views are wonderful. From the right side of our patio, you can see all the way to Tree Mountain. From our living room, there are great views of Antelope Island and the Great Salt Lake. This is the same for many other residents of North Salt Lake. However, any town could have incredible views. Brighton, Moab, and other towns and cities all have wonderful views. What truly sets North Salt Lake apart from all the others is the community events. One of the greatest parts of living in a neighborhood is interacting with others, especially at fun events. For example, me and my family went to the annual Get to the River event located in the nearby Jordan River. And I had never been river kayaking before, so it was a great opportunity to learn and bond with family and friends, so pretty fun. The city provided free kayaks for everyone, and I had a shuttle to get you from the end of the river back to the start. They provided free waffles, too. I appreciate that the city hosts these activities for free so everyone can attend. And another example of popular events in our city is the 4th of July Eaglewood Car Show. The car show is the talk of the town for weeks before and after. People from all over the country bring their exotic, classic, and very awesome cars and trucks to showcase them on the golf course right up the street. The city sets up bounce houses and bike races, and I saw groups of teens, parents with small children, and seniors walking around enjoying the activities. But after the car show was over, everyone brings their chairs and watches the huge fireworks show. But our best part of the car show for me is that our family makes it into a family reunion. Every year, our extended family comes to North Salt Lake and celebrates with us. It is an awesome bonding experience for everyone and truly brings this family together. I think it is creative that the city leaders support having events that strengthen not only the community bonds, but the family ones too. And furthermore, I've also noticed that at each activity our family has attended, the mayor has been there. He's been kind and friendly every time. It shows me that the mayor cares for our community and its citizens. The city's youth council has always been helping at the events. This shows how our community reaches out to the younger generation and lets them participate and be involved in local government. One of the ways North Salt Lake shows support for children is is the Summer Sports, Art, and Science Camp. I've played soccer since I was young, and one of the first soccer camps I attended was the North Salt Lake Summer Soccer Camp. It inspired me to start playing the sport and learn to get better. I also went to the summer basketball and baseball camps. They're entirely run by the city and youth employees, and it only costs $40 for a whole summer camp. These camps provided jobs and money for the teenagers who worked there. There are also art and science camps. My younger brother is currently on a North Salt Lake soccer team. All these camps can inspire a child to pursue whatever dreams they want. In conclusion, I'm glad to be growing up in North Salt Lake. I'm grateful to have participated in the summer camps and played on the sports teams. I appreciate the wonderful events that bring the community and my family together, and the things that, to me, are valued by the leadership of our community. That is why I love North Salt Lake.
Thank you. That was so lovely and is so rewarding to hear as individuals and staff members that help to coordinate these activities. To hear that feedback is really so validating and wonderful. We'd love to take a picture with your family. We'll invite your family up and then also the full city council if you'll come down for a picture.
Okay. Ty, I want to say something to you. I grew up in North Salt Lake, and so I hope that you will stay here and that one day you will sit on one of these chairs, because I went to the schools here, and what an honor to see you do this. And as you sat there, as you were talking, I thought, wow, thank you for being a good representation of the youth, but also go and be in the Youth City Council and represent the youth when you can, because that's just a few years away. Actually, I think you can apply soon, so do that, okay?
Okay, I will.
Well, thanks again to Ty. That was awesome. You know, as a city, we do things that we have to do. We plow, we pick up garbage, and provide water. But it's those things we don't have to do that make us a great community, and just lots of good volunteering from the citizens and the staff. We abuse the staff, I recognize that, but it really is a great thing. Next item is citizen comment. If there's anyone that would like to address council, please come forward, identify yourself, name and address. Thank you.
Oh, we're good. Hi, I'm Brian Myers. I own a small business on 1100 North. I wanted to come and talk to the council tonight because there's a situation in the city of which you may or may not be aware. I know the city itself is aware of it, but it has come to my attention many times, and that is that the spur rail on that's parallel to Main Street, just about a block west, where it crosses 1100 North, there are no sidewalks that cross that that busy. The rail line itself is not busy, but the road is busy. And I've seen people come up there. There's a man who used to come along with his Jazzy. He'd come to the end of there, and he had to stop because there's no way to get across the tracks. There's no way to get across the parking strip. There's no curb cut to get onto the road. And when he's there, he's on the road. And that's a very dangerous area because the grade of the tracks is quite a bit higher than the road. And so he would be invisible from cars coming up, joining in, going eastbound, or excuse me, going westbound on that, where the two lanes merge into one. So, and kids have to get off and walk their bicycles, or most likely they ride on the road, and it's just a dangerous situation. So many, many years ago, I talked to Paul when he was the city engineer and asked what the situation was, and he said, well, we're waiting on Union Pacific. So I got in touch with the representative from Union Pacific, and they said, well, we're waiting on information from the city. And so I took that back to Paul, and then that all went away. Well, today, last fall, let me add this, last fall, when I saw that same man come to the end of the road and have to turn around and not be able to go on the rest of the way, I called the city engineer and asked what was going on, and she said, well, we're close. We've got, we're just waiting for permits from Union Pacific, et cetera, et cetera. And she thought it would be a month or two. Well, fall has come and gone, winter's come and gone, spring has come and gone. Today I wanted to find out where it was at, so I called the city engineer. And she somehow got the impression that I was suggesting that she was not doing everything that was possible to solve the problem. She said that they're still waiting on permits, and that's all fine. Now, I'm no diplomat, but I wasn't raising my voice at all on the phone. I am an insistent person. She got the impression that I was being angry at her, and that was not the case. And so I suggested that perhaps she was taking it a little bit personally. And she said, well, now I'm offended, and I'm going to hang up, and hung up the phone. Now, this is not about that. This is about the liability that I believe that the city is under with this very dangerous crossing. It does not meet ADA qualifications in any way, shape, or form. No one can get across there safely. And in our conversation, I was told today that they have quarterly meetings with Union Pacific. Well, as a project engineer on a very high-profile defense program many years ago, once a quarter meeting doesn't generate enough energy to boil water in a teaspoon. You have to be meeting frequently, like as in an email once a week. Where are my permits? What can we do to push this along? I don't know if that's happening, and I may be wrong. It's been known to happen that I am wrong. I agree. And I can be taught, but I just want to make sure that the council is aware that this is a liability hanging out there, that if somebody gets injured because they couldn't get across there, they're going to look at the city and say, what's going on? And there may be a, if I was a good lawyer, I'd say, what kind of due diligence have you been doing to ensure that this is getting done? And a once a quarter meeting with UP wouldn't pass muster in my mind. So I'm not accusatory, I'm not pointing fingers. I just want to make sure that the council is aware that this is out there. Legal might want to be looking at it a little bit to make sure that the liability issues are as covered as possible, and that it doesn't get lost in the weeds because it's not being addressed as well as it could be. Thank you.
Question for you before you sit down. So you were describing the rail spur that I guess is west of the main line.
Main Street, yes. This is the single rail line.
So are you talking about where it crosses?
Where it crosses 1100 North. Yes.
Okay.
The sidewalks come up from both sides. They get to the right-of-way of the railway, and they stop.
Okay.
And there are curbs that go along there as well, and you can't get around there easily. And I know that there's been issues with permits and getting people in line and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but I'm not convinced as an engineer that it is getting profile that it needs, that it's getting the priority that it needs.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Do you want to address that?
We're happy to give you an update tonight. I think Karen's probably ready to do that. It is a project that we're working hard to get done. So,
please, Karen. Thanks.
So the history of this is when we decided to widen 1100 North about 13 or 14 years ago, we applied for a number of permits, including underground utilities and roadwork. In a series of truly baffling events, it has taken us over a decade to get the permits to complete the work. As many of you may be aware, they finally moved the signal arm out of the middle of the road to that spur line location. So the number of permits that have been obtained to date include the right-of-way purchase or crossing agreement for the road. We had to then purchase the additional right-of-way for the sidewalk location outside of the road right-of-way. We got the permits to do the additional sidewalk, including filling in along the side of the road, on the south side of the road at the southwesterly corner, where there's a very steep drop-off. We had to purchase additional property to be able to widen at that location. So as of last fall, they said that we had all the permits that we needed to go ahead and install the sidewalk. In addition, we are missing the section of sidewalk and about 15 feet of curb and gutter on the south side of the main line crossings. So different rail line, but it's the one where we have four tracks that cross the road. So the final completion of this project is the three pieces of sidewalk and that small section of curb and gutter. That area was delayed moving the signal arm on the south side of the road at the main line crossing. They have now finished that and gotten the cantilevers installed. In working through the entire process with purchasing property and getting agreements with UTA, Union Pacific, Rocky Mountain Power, and we were ready to install the sidewalk on this spur line location, submitted all of the permits, and it came back to me from Union Pacific saying that we did not have a crossing agreement for the mainline tracks, at which point they said we can't issue any permits, you can't put any sidewalk in at that location. So we then gone back and resubmitted the plans broken apart between the spur line and the main line so that we can get the spur line rails installed. I'm sorry, sidewalk installed across that single rail. The current status is we have all of the permits in place except for the permit to enter. And that permit to enter agreement comes from Union Pacific. I had made arrangements with the Union Pacific employee to have the sidewalk at that location installed the first 2 weeks of April. And the gentleman's name is Brian Wilkinson, who is the maintenance lead in charge of the spur line, which is an entirely separate entity than the lines 100 feet away to the east. And he had said as long as we had specific agreements in place with him, our contractor could enter. We had Bill Green, who does most of our concrete work, scheduled to go in and do that work. And the Union Pacific office, I called and said, just so you know, this is being done. And they called me almost hysterical, saying, you do not have a permit to enter. You absolutely cannot do the work. Scheduled a meeting with me that Friday, came in and met with me. We had been doing monthly meetings. We had even been doing biweekly meetings during the height of the process, including the cantilevers. We have now scheduled quarterly meetings because the work has slowed trying to get these permits. The permits come from Omaha. The consultant for Union Pacific, Olson, is the name of the company, is working with them to, and I quote, expedite the process on behalf of the city. The permits are now all in place. We have the application with the assistance of them that has been submitted for that permit to enter agreement. And we are ready to pull the trigger just as soon as Union Pacific issues that permit. I have now submitted the permit four times and have yet to get, again, only since mid-April when I found out we were missing one of the pieces. It's unfortunately incredibly complicated for absolutely no good reason. But we are actively pursuing this. It's something I work on every single week. And we will not stop until we get the sidewalk across the spur line and also the sidewalk across the mainline tracks. And we are so close. After 14 years, I will consider it a massive career win to be done. The sooner the better.
You should try building a bridge. See how... question, I would assume that we could get a grant for that because of ADA.
We did get a grant for a portion of the work. Unfortunately, the portion of the work that the grant was available for is for railroad crossing safety. It was a UDOT grant. And the agreement of that grant was that they would pay for the signal arms to be relocated in both locations. Mm-hmm. Union Pacific agreed at a cost, not a participation of dollars, but they agreed to do the work and allow the widening. UDOT paid for the signal relocation, and the city agreed to pay for all the surface work. We currently have the money in the budget. It has been rolled over, I have no idea how many times. Heidi's like, really? I'm like, yep, because any minute I'm going to get it in. So it is already done under a grant, and this work is our portion of that agreement.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thanks for your efforts on that.
Thank you.
And thanks for the comment.
Any other citizen comments?
Hi, my name is Gentry Holbrook. I live at Northview Way in North Salt Lake. I just wanted to take time to meet with the City Council and tell you all how much my family appreciates the Monday night food trucks and the events specified to our communities. We went to the Pride Night last night, and it was a really wonderful event. I work with youth and families for the state of Utah as a licensed social worker, and our LGBTQIA+ youth and families are really underrepresented and struggling. So having a night last night to see them participate in, be recognized, and have a safe space was really beautiful. I saw the high school and their council was there, and I was just extremely impressed with the community and the youth that were present to bring all of this engagement. So I just wanted to tell you all thank you for putting that on and giving a safe space for the families in North Salt Lake. And adding to that, I really love that the city has expanded to our people of color events on food truck nights. I have really appreciated the Black History Month bus that we had last month, the Juneteenth representation, the Pacific Islander. I'm hoping the city will consider opening up to other people of color months and representations, especially because our city is built on a lot of small businesses, like I think of Nacho House, and the people who own that are really wonderful and kind, and I would love to see them be able to do something at one of these events with the Heritage Month coming up in September to October. But I just want to take this time again to thank you all for being an inclusive city council, for giving our city and its residents all a safe place to be together and to meet. Last year I had the pleasure of meeting a man and his partner of 20 plus years who had lived in North Salt Lake, and I recognized them last night and we got to talk, and last year they told me how great it was because it was the first event they'd ever been to where they felt included with the city, and to see them again was really special and to chat with them. So just want to thank you all, and I hope you all continue the great work you're doing to include all of our citizens here. Thanks.
Thank you. Did you bake something for us?
I didn't. It's just a flyer. Thank you for encouraging people like Ty and me to participate in city government.
Sorry, who are you and where do you live?
My name's Camille. I live on Main Street, USA, right here. So thank you for the encouragement for all of us to participate. Trail Day, I just wanted to mention that we had one volunteer talk about the Spurge, and we have our next trail meeting not until the end of June, so I was hoping there might be something that we could do to act on that sooner. It's a spring-specific problem, so to get rid of the Spurge. So I guess that'll probably come back to our committee, but it seems like it's a spring problem that we should... I know the whole state jumps on it, but we just haven't heard about it for a few years. And then I wanted to thank you for this printed flyer that's so easy to read. It has so much packed into it. So thank you all for what you're doing and all these specific programs mentioned in it. And thank you, City Council, for looking and providing a way to update a beautiful park and make it amazing and perhaps the heart of North Salt Lake. I believe that's really possible. But I did hear a staff member say that it's too bad that North Salt Lake doesn't have any history. So I'm here to tell you just a few stories and to preserve our history. So I just opened up my jar of apricot nectar. It was a much bigger jar, but I'm going to give you all. Like I said, it's a flyer because I'm not sure I can give you gifts. So, and it just says, pick North Salt Lake history. And I'll come back next time and I'll give you another history to consider. But it's in the educate purposes to inform everyone. With these big decisions that are upon you now, I just want to make sure that our city's history is part of your consideration when we're spending so much money. I'm going to use somebody else's words, but you know, why do something flashy that might not have that relevance or that tie back to our city? So here's a couple stories. Bill and Maxine Wood, just across the street there, they remember all the orchards around here from beyond Center all the way to Woods Cross. And Bill said that North Salt Lake was called North Salt Lake before it was even officially named North Salt Lake. He was here, so I believe him. He also took the trolley out to the Salt Air. And I ran across a granddaughter of the Jensens who had a fruit stand right here where Mr. Colemore lives, right next to the veterinarian. And they used to sell fruit there, and she told the story about they would throw the rotten fruit at somebody if they didn't buy it. You know, just really great stories. But so she remembers the orchards, and she would love to come and talk with you too, but she's in St. George. Her grandmother was very vocal about this being North Salt Lake. This is a unique city. We have a great city. And she was one of the first ones that said, this is not Bountiful, and she was very vocal about that. And this is what she remembers about her grandmother. Her husband worked at the meatpacking plant, so if we had Stan here, he would tell us another story about how they were very vocal about keeping this named North Salt Lake. If we could have a shout out to an orchard, be it, I know I've talked to TJ, you know, fruit trees are not what a city wants to maintain, but a little, you know, little space, maybe at Hatch, that calls out to some dwarf fruit trees or some grapevine that would be beautiful as well as representative. Let's see. And if we own it, then our concert series, if we have concert series, can be called the Jam Fest. I'm already working on that, so yeah. Okay. So here's a fresh handout for you. It's from my tree here in North Salt Lake. Let's see. And ask for more Hatch Park input specifically. I know we have our 2046 meetings, but I don't feel like we've been represented. There's been the committee that met 4 or 5 years ago, and I thought I would get on the committees to be closer to the decisions, and because I wasn't participating in those meetings, I feel like I'm further away from any of those, having any information or anything to say about it. So there's just people now that would like to have something to say about it too. So thank you for all your work. I'll deliver your flyers now, and Mayor, yours is in the form of an IOU. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Camille. Anyone else to address the council? Okay, we'll move on. Our next item is a public hearing and consideration of ordinance 2024-03, an ordinance adopting the municipal executive officer compensation increases for the fiscal year 24-25. Heidi?
Thank you. This is a new requirement for the city. It came out of Senate Bill 91 and took effect May 1st of this year. What it essentially requires is that a public hearing be held before any compensation increase is proposed for anybody that's considered a municipal executive officer. And there's a very specific definition of that. Anybody that oversees a department or a division or their assistant. And so what this ordinance proposes is to identify those positions that we have funded here through our budget process at the city, and then clarify that the proposed amount of those increases for the upcoming budget fiscal year 2025 is a 3.3% COLA and a 2% merit increase, and that this is consistent and similar with the all the other employees. It's what's being proposed for all eligible city employees. And then we'll turn it over for the public hearing.
Okay, I would just like to say I'm so grateful to the legislature for making sure that they're taking care of us like this. Because we wouldn't be able to do this without their help. And
stay in your lane.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to go into public hearing.
I'll second that motion.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. We're now in public hearing. Is there anyone that would like to come forward and address the council on this item? I always want to hum the Jeopardy song at this point, but seeing none, we will close the public hearing. And I'll entertain a motion.
That's great. I move that the City Council approve Ordinance 2024-03 authorizing executive municipal officer compensation increases for fiscal year 2024-2025.
Hey, I'll second that one too.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's start with Tammy.
Aye.
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 Thank you, and that passes. Will someone report back to the legislature on that for us?
You bet.
Okay. Next item is public hearing prior to the adoption of the fiscal year 2024-25 budget. Heidi?
All right, I just have a couple of slides on the 2024-2025 budget. Some background, the city held a budget retreat on March 23rd, as you recall, where we considered proposals that were presented by both city council members and department heads for the upcoming budget year. We looked at capital budgets. A tentative budget was proposed, and this hearing was set at the May 7th, 2024 city council meeting. Incorporates the things that we just discussed, the 3.3% COLA, one new position, which is the police officer, school resource officer. We're projecting essentially flat growth in sales tax revenues, utility rates increases to go with a capital plan that was established 2 or 3 years ago. Those rate increases were approved at the last city council meeting. There is one set of changes that was made from the tentative budget, which has been made available on the city website since May 13th. We did make an increase in contributions from West Bountiful, who is proposing to support our court here, our justice court, and give us $10,000 contribution towards our court expenditures. And then an increase in the chief administrative officer training budget of $8,000 per year for some new positions that we have, as well as the executive officer training that we would like to continue doing, with a net increase between those two of actually $2,000. Overall, the city budget, and please note that this does not include the redevelopment agency budget. We'll hold a public hearing on that on June 18th as the redevelopment agency board convenes and reviews that budget independently and approves that as a separate body. So the total budget is slightly less than what we looked at because it doesn't have that $6.8 million of that tax increment revenue that comes in through the RDA. The total budget proposed here today is $57,946,405. That is our largest budget, but it's important to note that we are doing, this includes the Hatch Park project. So while we're proposing to spend down fund balance, and you can see that amount of $12,895,875, $10 million of that is spending down of construction funds that we've set aside and reserved and borrowed specifically for that project. Were there any questions on any of the budget discussions that we've had to date?
Okay, thank you. We'll now open the public hearing. Is there anyone that would like to address the council on this item?
We have to open up the public hearing. I'll make a motion to open up the public hearing.
Okay.
I'll second.
Thank you. We're in public hearing now. Okay, I will close the public hearing. And we will adopt this
On June 18th, we have this scheduled for adoption.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you, Heidi, for all your work and the staff for that. That's a big process, and probably the most important thing we do is, as a city council and staff, is to create this budget. And a lot of good things going on. Next item is consideration of a bid award to Black Forest Paving for the 400 West Street rebuild project in the amount of $1.6 million. Karen.
Thank you, Mayor. So the 400 West project is one we've talked about recently. Just quick recap, we are going to be doing the entire road from Center Street to 1100 North, and we have decided to go with the mill and overlay option using a modified asphalt as recommended by the geotech report. So another visual reminder of the condition of this road and how excited we are to be ready to go into construction. So we had four bidders on this project. Black Forest Paving is a low bidder. We did two options on the bid. The base bid was for a modified asphalt only on the 1.5-inch top course. And the alternate was to include that fiber additive for asphalt modified for all of the asphalt being replaced, which will be a full 4.5 inches on the lanes. So it's a super pave or a super pave with the fiber additive. Our current project budget, which was reduced in a budget amendment based on this change in scope previously, is currently at $1.8 million. The bid came in just under $1.6 million, including the increased fiber additive for the full asphalt, and so that is what we are recommending for approval. Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I have a comment. I really appreciate the information we talked about earlier, considering the tax revenue that we get from this portion of the city, because this is $1.5 million on a road that almost no residents use. You're welcome, businesses in North Salt Lake. I would move that the City Council award the 400 West Street rebuild project to Black Forest Paving for the North to Oak Hollow Electric for the alternate price of $1,598,048.50.
I apologize.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I paused right there.
Okay. I changed it three times and saved it every time, and it never saved right.
Is it right in the packet?
It is correct.
Okay, let me start over. I make an alternate motion. I move that the City Council award the 400 West Street rebuild project to Black Forest Paving for the alternate price of $1,598,048.50.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Lisa. Any further discussion on this? Ted?
Aye.
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 Thank you, and that passes. Thank you.
My sincere apologies. Technology defeated me today.
Next item is consideration of bid award to Taylor Electric for a generator pad installation project.
So this is a project we've been working on. I thought I'd give you a very brief recap for city council members who may not be familiar with this project. We were able to obtain a very large grant from FEMA to install generators at all of our critical culinary water facilities. If in the event of an extended power outage, the water system will cease to function. What happens, of course, you turn your tap on, water comes out from pressure fed from the tank. But the way we fill the tank are very large pumps that require electricity. So this particular grant was from for this water resiliency, and they will automatically kick on when the power fails, and our entire water system will remain functional. So for brief power outages, we have sufficient buffering capacity in the tanks, but for an extended outage such as an earthquake or other kind of natural event. So we're really excited about this project. There are three phases to it. The first is the purchase of the generators, which has already been done. They were built somewhere in Argentina or some other South America location, came on a slow boat to America, are currently in Utah, and ready to be installed. So the second portion will be the installation of these concrete pads, and that's this portion of the project. They'll put the concrete for these very heavy generators to sit on with the conduits for the future wiring, and then the final phase, which we'll bring to you soon, we hope, will be for the connection and the wiring changes to the pump stations and the wells themselves. So we had three bidders on this project. Taylor Electric was low at $89,001. There was a little concern with the large gap between the low bidder and the second bidder. So we have contacted Taylor Electric to confirm one of the things in our bid documents are if there is an error, they're allowed to withdraw their bid without penalty. They confirmed there is no error and that they're very confident with their price. So we then obtained several references from this contractor, called and spoke to other cities who have had them do work for them in the past. The references they provided were for generator pad install projects and the generator hookups. They had glowing references, and we are very confident that we can recommend awarding for the total price. The total project, not just the generator pads, but the entire, our total budget is $1.626 million. The FEMA grant is $1.46 million, and the entire city portion of this project was only 10% at $162,000. So we're very, very grateful and excited to be able to have this improvement for our water system.
Thank you. I guess this is just right in their wheelhouse or something. This is what they do. Well, I'm happy to, I'd even throw another dollar in.
Quick question. Quick question. How long do the generators run? How large of a gap would that give us from power outage to?
Because they run on diesel fuel, if the power outage were out for an extended period of time, we can go and refill a fuel tank. Oh. So the bottom of the generator sits in that top enclosure, and the bottom has a very large diesel fuel tank. Mm. John may know off the top of his head how long, 24? 24 hours until they'd have to be refilled. Mm. But if there were a shortage, we could then refuel them and keep going.
In a real emergency, you know, Wasatch Fault goes or something, hopefully it would give us time to fill up our bathtubs and all our pots and pans or something, you know, so we could have water. But it would definitely, we'd run out of fuel and not be able to refuel, I would think, in a real emergency. But a great thing for us.
Can I make a comment? Is there other cities that have this? Because I think this is an amazing project that we are able to have.
Yeah, so generators are very common. Currently, we have most of our locations have a generator hookup, and we have two mobile generators. So if there were a problem in a specific location, such as a power outage in a singular neighborhood, they can take the generator, hook it up, and get the pumps back going. FEMA grants are very competitive. And we were really lucky to get this one. Most of the cities who would want permanent installations at all locations would be paying the full amount. So
thanks for doing that.
Oh, sorry.
So we actually applied for this grant twice. So this is the second time.
Yeah. And we'll need to run these generators once a week or something. Is that right?
Yeah, they'll auto run once a week to keep them ready to.
Yeah. Okay. Did we vote on this? I don't.
I'll make a motion. I move that the City Council award the generator pad installation project to Taylor Electric, Inc. for the price of $89,001.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Tammy?
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Just say something that, and I know I was the squeaky wheel here. We had an area just below the 14th hole tee that always had water, and it was growing moss on the sidewalks. And we now have a sign there with an awesome water feature. And if you haven't seen it, you should come up. Every day when I drive past it, it's like, I love that thing. So it's really cool, and thank you for doing that. And I'm sure that guy that lives right there is grateful too. But that's a great little thing. And it highlights our Eaglewood sign and the golf course there. And I just like it. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
We've already approved council minutes. Let's go to council reports. Ted, you want to start?
Sure. In the last week, I'm trying to remember who all met, but council, one or two planning commissioners, Sherry and Allie, this is met with WFRC to discuss a planning effort that are working on called the Beehive Bikeways, which is, you can think of it as a complement to the Utah Trail Network. Utah Trail Network, like the freeways of the bike system, and this would be the arterials, but both of them would be high protection, high comfort, the kind of thing you would let an 8-year-old ride on. I'm reporting back, and would encourage Sherry, if she wants to add anything on this, that WFRC in their draft map, which in turn was related to feedback from communities last fall, they identified the core north-south route as the same route that the Utah Trail Network originally identified, which is Highway 89. In our discussions with them, we discussed that Orchard Drive may make sense either in addition to or instead of. And we sort of left them as two viable options. We as a city, by the way, could opt to pursue both. But in all of these things, I think a key consideration for us as a community is that we have a willing community to the north that wants to work with us. And so, as you may recall, there's a 3-city trails meeting on July 11th with Bountiful and Centerville. And what we relayed back to WFRC, and that our plan is to just discuss both of those options with Bountiful, and to see if they have interest in working collaboratively with us on one or the other. My thinking is that UDOT/WFRC would support Bountiful and North Salt Lake, or Bountiful Woods Cross, North Salt Lake, whatever, in advancing either corridor if we were in lockstep with each other. So that's the report that I've got. Chair, do you want to add anything to that?
I think the only thing that I would add is, I don't know if you said we had some of the trails committee. We had some trails committee members there, and we had a good dialogue about the pros and cons of choosing Highway 89 or choosing Orchard. And one of the things that was mentioned by some of our Trails Committee members who actually bike with their children in the community and bike to commute was that they would prefer Highway 89 because it is flatter. And there's a incline that you have to work with on Orchard Drive, and it's not as family friendly. The other consideration was, what does this connect to? And so if we went on Orchard Drive, we might be, going around, not getting to our center on 2600 North, that's a shopping center, and also bypassing our town center. And so a lot of the committee members felt like that may be the route that we want to go, but we want to bring that, of course, to you and then have the conversation with the other cities before anybody makes a formal recommendation to the city council. But that was kind of how the conversation went. And it was very interesting to talk to people who actually do ride bikes and ride with their families and what they're looking for and what comfort level they would feel. And they, you know, those types of people felt like that Highway 89 would actually be safer if it was a side path off the street and an improved safe trail. So
that's it for me. Thank you.
Suzette?
Well, I just have to say my tenure is short here so far, but I'm a little excited. This is like a very short meeting. So thank you for doing our minutes and our approvals and all of that in work session. It's just very exciting, so I'll keep mine very short. Trails Day was a success. It was, I think, very productive. I was down on the bottom part because I had to come a little bit late, and I do have Linda's gloves in my car. Don't let me forget. But quite a few people showed up. I'm always so impressed with the number of citizens who are willing to just volunteer. It's so impressive to me, and just for the love of the city, the love of the trails, just to be good citizens. So we cleared some paths, and Mayor, you probably have more to report than I do, but I thought it was a great day.
It was a great turnout. We repaired some erosion places and built some berms to run off some of the water. Just a shout out to Shills, they provide funding for hours served for all the biking clubs at the high schools. So Woods Cross High School biking people were there volunteering their time. And you are going to get hit up for trail repair tools. There's this awesome rake hoe thing that somebody had, and it's like $150, but they want to buy a couple, have the city buy a couple to have. It's heavy-duty trail repair equipment. But yeah, great. And I couldn't help but just, again, be amazed at how many people were using it. This, of course, was on a Saturday, but people showing up with their bikes and hikers. And it wasn't that many years ago. We just didn't even have that in our city. And so it's a great thing. Thank you.
And that's all I have.
Lisa?
Two things. I sit on the golf committee, and we have, as you know, we sent out the letter to all the people involved who have any interface with the golf course, which was generalized, explaining the situation. We got a bit of feedback. Somebody wants to meet with us. But in the meantime, Tyler has shared with me and with Ken some more letters that he's receiving, emails, contact, in particular by homeowners who came to the nuisance and then want to have the city do a lot to protect their homes from golf ball damage. This might be something that we want to talk about collectively as a city council. It's a policy decision, I think, that we need to make, how proactive we need to be or how unreactive we want to be. So it's something that we really should discuss. And I think collectively, we'll hear from Tyler at some point and their recommendation from the golf committee. But it's a concern that we have. The other thing I wanted to mention has now slipped my mind. It has to do with purge the spurge. In years past, we have had a day where we've done that, purge the spurge. And it takes a little bit more planning than last minute. This year, we haven't. We let that opportunity, I think, pass. Camille brought it up. I wasn't aware that she was going to. And I'm just asking you, what is your feeling about that? Because it is spring. And what you have to do with spurge is that you have to dig it all the way up, remove all of the plant matter, and then remove it completely from the site. So you put them in bags. And then those bags go out to the dump and are destroyed. The plant matter is destroyed. So it's quite a project. But I remember a few years ago we had a ward or a cleanup day, and there was an entire truck full of it. But it takes a lot to do. And so my question is, do we want to do something this year, or should we consider it an opportunity that's passed by?
Are we too late in the year to address it?
I don't know.
We'll try and find out for you.
I have a part of my yard that doesn't get a lot of water, and the spurge came in, and it was kind of pretty, so I lived with it for a few years, but I did remove it this year, but my neighbor above me has not, so I'm sure I'll get it back, but I finally broke down and purged the spurge myself.
Yeah.
So we'll report back to you what the optimal time is, and maybe we can put a project together. Yeah. I do recall that we did that. I think I even attended one years ago where we all worked to dig those up on some of our trails. So.
I think it has to be done in April, May, and June.
Yeah.
That's my recollection. It can't be in the heat of the summer, but we may not be too late.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lisa.
All right. The Health and Wellness Committee met this month. We are getting ready for several events, for the Unity in the Community events, as well as the Wellness Fair, which is in conjunction with the Night Out Against Crime, coming up this summer. So last night was the first of the Unity in the Community events, the Pride event, which we heard a little bit about tonight. It went incredibly well, better than last year. We had 10 vendors in the section specific for the Pride event, and half of those were mental health facilities, which really speaks not only to the directive of the Health and Wellness Committee, but also I think to the unique kind of community support we can provide for this community, or this portion of our community. And it started out really rainy, very rainy, pouring rain, and I thought that was going to be the end of it, but it cleared up. It was actually sufficiently crowded during the rain, surprisingly, but then it cleared up and it just got better and better. Thank you to the mayor for coming and for speaking there, and thank you to all of the staff that helped set that up. I know that these events can feel complicated for people, but every single staff member that was there and participated was so seemed so happy to be there and grateful to be there, and I just didn't receive any feeling of concern, and I really appreciate that. I know there's a lot of room for different feelings, and so thank you to all of the staff as well for that. The Juneteenth event then is next Monday, and it's going to run pretty much the same. We do have a really strong community-based committee for this event, so I'm much less involved in the planning for this event. We did have the GT Good Things Utah segment on Monday for the Juneteenth event that Eddie Thompson arranged, and I did attend that, but I actually didn't go on camera for the event, so Eddie went on with a few other of the contributors to the event, but it went really well. And the producer at Good Things Utah invited us back for our fall event, the Latino Heritage event as well, so that will be coming up. A few comments I received about the events. I loved what Camille said in the stories that she was sharing about North Salt Lake has this uniqueness, and I think that that's true. I appreciate that, and also that uniqueness is what drew me here when my husband and I were looking for a place where we knew we were going to be raising our family. But I have had city staff and council members from our neighboring towns, Woods Cross, West Bountiful, and Bountiful, talk to me specifically about these Unity in the Community events and how great they think they are, and how expressing some sadness that that doesn't feel like something that they would be able to do in their communities. And I just felt additionally grateful that in our community, this is something that is our uniqueness, and that while there's room for a lot of different feelings about this, it is something that the city still does. And I really appreciate that. So thank you. Okay. A couple other lighter things. I have received some comments since we've gotten into summer weather in gratitude for the trail around Legacy Park, that people are using it and they're loving it and letting me know that they're so grateful that the city would invest in that. So thank you for all of that work towards that. I've also, since especially the general planning meetings, I understand I wasn't able to attend the meeting in Foxborough, but they talked a lot about the sewer smell in Foxborough, and then I've had a couple residents come and talk to me about that. And I think it sounds like there might be some work for the city to collect information about those reports, and I appreciate that. And I wonder if it's time for us to consider, and as you're kind of connecting with that, the city creating a letter of concern that goes to the sewer district and just kind of adds our voice to the voices of the residents that are complaining and saying, hey, we see this as a continued problem. I recognize that the sewer district can think it's the problem is solved if they're not hearing complaints. And I just wanted to maybe think about adding to the complaints of the residents, complaints of the city. Like, we also think this is a problem citywide. And the reason I think that is because that the residents in that area, and honestly, it's not even where I am, it's closer to the south of Foxborough, feel exasperated by it. And they feel like their voices are going nowhere and it doesn't matter. And it is also creating a bad taste in their mouth and their nose about the city. And so it's not the sewer district that is being kind of villainized in that story. It is the city, that the city doesn't care and the city won't do anything about it. And there is not a lot that the city can do. I recognize that, but there is potentially more that we could do, even if it's in kind of solidarity as an effort.
Can I just make a comment there? So about a week ago, Linda mentioned it to me, and I was surprised. I hadn't heard a thing. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a problem that had been resolved for the most part.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to hear it hasn't. And
yeah.
So I guess, yeah, the squeaky wheel needs to squeak at us. And I don't know, I know they have a sniffer out there on paid, a woman that goes around and tries to identify where the smell's coming from. But yeah, I hadn't heard anything for, oh, it's been a year at least.
And yeah, so. And even I live near that area and I also feel like I don't experience it very often. And so it's easy to feel like, oh, this must not be a problem. But it came up at that general planning meeting, and then a couple residents from that meeting came and talked to me about, like, no, this is still a problem, and we just have kind of given up because nothing ever happens. So I think that's an area that we could support residents, even in symbolic ways of, like, hey, we still see that this is a problem. Okay, I have a question about the general plan feedback. I am seeing a lot of posts on social media about that, and I'm really grateful for those posts. My question is, do those posts include an option to submit feedback online? Maybe even that, like, questionnaire that they did on site. Can you fill that out online?
Yes, you can fill it out, and it's actually extended online, so it's a little bit Excellent. Broader. And the interactive map is online. It's really, I think I checked about a week ago, there's about 60 comments that have been added to the map. So it's really interesting to go and click on each one of the comments and read what people are saying, you know, that they would like this there or that, you know, park, this is a good place for a park, or I would like to see a trail here, or there's potholes here. I'm not sure if that's really one, but but there great. Are a few. There are 60 as of last week. I haven't checked today, but it's pretty cool.
That's great. I'm really glad to hear that. I know the attendance at those meetings hasn't been amazing, so I'm delighted to hear the online feedback. Okay, that's everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tammy?
Sherry, is that still shareable, that link? Is it easy to share?
Cause yes, I can send it to you.
Yeah, would you? Because I shared it at one time, and I haven't for a while. So
yeah, it's really great. And I've talked to probably about between 15 and 20 people last night, and it was very successful having the booth there to talk about the general plan, and we'll be there again next week for the Juneteenth.
Oh, thank you. So.
Will you send it out into maybe a group email to the council, and then we Absolutely. Can push it out to different people as well?
Absolutely.
And to your comment on the sewer district, do they still have that person that goes around and, because I believe Jerrica, yeah, that's what, I wondered that. Okay. On my report, I don't have much except for the youth council. There was quite a few that graduated, so they're working on getting new youth council for that. And then they will be having quite a few for Liberty Fest. They want to see if they can incorporate them to help. And I was going to ask Suzette, does your committee, your board, want to help on that as well? Have you talked about that in any of your meetings? Anybody helping at the Liberty Fest or the car show?
I believe the only thing we've really talked about is cleanup afterwards, getting the headlamps and being there after. So maybe shoot me a list of needs and potential volunteer spots.
Okay. I got a text from Linda this week, and she was just asking if anybody on the youth council, and then we had helped a little bit last year, and so I thought maybe I would just see if maybe you had anybody that might want to. So I'll see if there's a need, and then I'll get it to you. And
so the youth council is sold water at the events.
I think that they're going to use them on different resources, maybe more than just water this time, but I'm not quite sure.
I would just say Linda did bring it up at the last Parks and Arts meeting about volunteering. And so I think the word's out for her committee. And we also talked about it at Health and Wellness at the end of the meeting.
Okay, so I'll get back with you on that.
Yeah, and I apologize. I was on Zoom, and it was a little touch and go. So I didn't remember that we talked about other than the headlamps, but it sounds like...
Yeah, cleanup was what we talked about.
It sounds like...
And I just wanted to make sure so that you didn't get blindsided on that, so if there was any need. And I think that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. City attorney report, anything?
Nothing, Mayor.
Thanks, Todd. I just have a couple of items. My phone just blew up as 15 of the county mayors are all responding here to this, but you recall that we lost the Sunset City Mayor. Scott Wiggle has been appointed in the interim. I don't know him, but if you know him, reach out. So Scott's our new Sunset Mayor. And then I didn't want to bring it up in our work session, but just a little bit of feedback on the animal control thing. And they've gone under some changes from the original proposal, but they were very ambitious in their original plan and got a lot of negative pushback from the COG on it. And in fact, a few of the mayors were like, we should go back to just euthanization, save money. But the one thing so it's located up on the hill, and the mentality I have is that's pretty prime real estate. And so when they talked about we saved a lot of money by not purchasing another property, I think they could have made money by moving the facility out on somewhere close to the mosquitoes and sold that other property. But
a sewer. My cousin built
the
sewer.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, we're all really grateful that it's not a city project. So, and then I just have one other item I wanted to talk about. We're in an inflationary cycle, and we're being required to upgrade the sewer facility in the north to meet new standards, and a very expensive project. We talked about it last year, and in my memory, it was like $55 million project. We did, in December, we had a quick and dirty kind of a swag estimate from a contractor that came in at about $65 million. We just awarded the bid for $87 million. And that was cutting a $2 million add-on that we'll have to pick up at some point down the road. So, very expensive, and we will all get to pay for it as we move forward. But
is this a state requirement or just a necessity from the facility?
I think it's coming from the feds.
But
the state EPA and the feds are so tied in, it's hard to tell. Hmm. But it was, and I'll butcher numbers, but it was dealing with ammonia levels of
0.006 and they had to get it to 0.007 or something. You know, I mean, it was a lot of pain for not much gain. Mm-hmm. But
one thing about that is that we as city council hear a lot from that. How is it you're raising the rates on sewer and they think it's us that we're the ones doing it? And I mean, that's just a natural occurrence, but it's pretty frustrating.
We actually had a public hearing anticipating the bonding that we would need to do. And, you know, there were some angry people. And they suggested that we just simply tell them no. And I said, well, I'll go to jail for that, but you won't.
It's a price they're willing to pay.
I would, if we could avoid this, I'd do 90 days, you know, to save $90 million. But it would just, there's no escaping it, you know. We're tied in, and it's an emotional thing for, you know, everyone wants clean air and everyone wants clean water, but it comes at a cost. And anyway, so that we approved that yesterday in a.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
The impetus for this new facility might have been that ammonia requirement, but surely there are additional benefits from the new facility, right?
No doubt we're, I think we're 50 years into that plant.
Any chance part of the operations at the South Sewer Plant might be moved or shifted? Do they have any conversation about that?
No.
Okay.
I guess they're able to adapt that one without a rebuild, but... But we could spend
that might be something in the conversation, even if it goes nowhere, you could be a voice of, hey, we're unhappy in the South, of saying, because the residents report that the sewer was not a problem until they added the food digesters.
Yeah.
And so if the food digesting system could be moved, that might alleviate the problem for us. Now, I wouldn't want to like gift that problem to another community, but I don't know exactly where the West Bountiful facility is and if it would affect the community the way that it affects us.
Yeah. That's all I have. Ken?
Okay, just quickly, we have a project coming up in Foxborough that will probably generate some phone calls. We have some very sick ash trees, which are getting infested with a lilac ash borer, and they need to be sprayed. So I don't know if I have a time frame yet. They'll start Friday. Great. So we've engaged a contractor to go through Foxborough to try to save our trees down in Foxborough. I wanted to report to you that at our Parks and Arts meeting, because this was a discussion item at the council, we've assigned Allie Avery, who's our grant specialist, and she's actually represents the city on lots of trail issues and active transportation. She came to the meeting and presented kind of a structure to the trails subcommittee on ways that it was kind of the staff's recommendation on how to move forward on trail planning and an inventory of where we are and what needs to be done yet. And a lot of that we know, but some of it we don't. So I just wanted to report to you that Allie is kind of our designated person. Some you two on the end may have known that already, that Allie does that. But just for the council's benefit, we've added a little more formal structure to responding to the trails discussion. And then the last thing I have, it's timely, Councilmember Baskin, that you raised the golf ball damage issue. We want to go into closed session tonight. To discuss the most recent kind of threat from one of our homeowners. And so that's all I have, though, Mayor. Thank you.
Can I make a comment before we move on? It's about the Parks and Arts Board. Having served on that board, and I understand the level of work that goes into the many events that they supervise, and I'm grateful for that, but I know it is a really heavy workload for those volunteers. If there is kind of a subsection of the committee that is more focused on trails, which I think is a fantastic focus, I wonder if the structure needs, I'm hoping that the events don't fall on just a few of the committee members and the others are for trails. Does that make sense? That if they're splitting these assignments, that it's not heavily overloading just a few committee members who are then in charge of all those many, many events. And if that is to be the case, might we flesh out that committee to be bigger so that that workload is spread out among more people? So people who want to do trails can still do trails. People who want to do events can still do that. It's just not one person maybe doing all of them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room to discuss how to do it better. And I think it's true that some members just want to work on trails and not necessarily be the kite mm-hmm. festival people. I think they're good people. They'll do what we ask them to do, but
maybe just ask the committee members.
Yeah, that's probably a good issue, Councilmember Jackson, for the committee to talk about. We can help you too if you want to have us kind of talk about it all together.
That'd be great. And I did want to just follow up with Elisa's comment. In a previous conversation, I think it would go a long way just to include Camille in the creative part of moving forward with the mural. I'm glad you mentioned that. I think it would go a long way.
I hope she hasn't felt excluded because she and Allie have talked. I don't know why she would feel excluded.
I was going to suggest that we'll include her in paying for it all as a homeowner.
I've spoken with her and the Parks Committee. They had me come over one day just to visit with them, or at least the art portion of it.
Yes.
And she has felt that her ideas have been squelched somewhat by staff. And so I said, well, we shouldn't be having that happen, and we want to correct that. That's not something we want to portray.
Yeah.
But I can get into more detail than that, but that's where it's happening.
Yeah, we'd like to know that because that would be news to us. And we can't solve things we don't know about. So I know there's an application period. The only thing I can say is that maybe the property owner wasn't as on board as maybe we were led to believe. So, but that's all I know. So anyway, but yeah, if you'll share anything you can with us, and we can reach out to Camille too. Hopefully she'll let us know what's going on.
Okay, let's, on our motion to go into closed session, let's adjourn the regular session so we don't have to come back into it. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn and go into closed session.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
And second.
And a motion to go into closed session.
Second.
So same or two.
It really should be separate motions.
Separate, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we need to.
Okay, we're adjourned for the purpose of discussing.
I can tell you what the reason is.
For the purpose of discussing.
Pending or reasonably imminent litigation.
Okay, Lisa seconds.
Yeah, second on that motion to close.
For the purpose of discussing reasonably imminent litigation.
Correct.
Okay.
So we have to vote.
Vote. Vote.
Aye. Pardon me.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Even though I'm not
aye.
Voting.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Tyler?